Blog Talk Radio.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down.
And welcome to Gail's Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was the Delphonics, La La Means I Love You. Hope everybody's having a beautiful evening this weary Wednesday night. Well, it's raining here a little bit, but it's not snowing. That's a good thing. hope everybody's ready for tonight's show. I have a very special guest, Jerome Tucker. He currently resides in Maryland. He was born in Southampton, Long Island, New York, raised in Washington, D.C. Jerome Tucker has gained a wealth of knowledge from a wide variety of life's experience. He's married with three daughters. Jerome has used his unique interpersonal skills to entertain and educate the masses as a speaker, teacher, real estate investor, producer, television and radio talent, and mentor in life skills, financial literacy, real estate, fatherhood, relationship, and personal development. He's a facilitator at Adams House from 2007 to the present. He was a facilitator at Adams House Fatherhood Program, facilitates weekly workshops for men and women where he shares the value of being good mothers and fathers so that they can be of value to their families. He mentors ex-offenders, ex-military veterans, former and current users, and anyone in need of help with their life's issues. Curriculum covers fatherhood, parenting skills, male-female relationships, anger management, financial literacy, forgiveness, premarital and marriage navigation facilitation, blended families, finding your purpose. He's a speaker, trainer, facilitator, certificates in training, premarital and marital facilitator 2014, prepare, enrich marriage training, anger management 2013, Chicago Institute of Anger Management, balance and restorative justice, BARJ 2013, Florida Atlantic University. He's a platinum member, Circle of Champions Speaker Bureau. Speak and train on entrepreneurship, team building, and self-empowerment. He trains a trainer certificate. He has a train the trainer certificate in 2006, complete train the trainer certificate from the Peak Potentials Training Company in the Meadowlands, New Jersey. He's certified to train trainers and trainees. Well, he has a wonderful bio here, but we're not going to be able to get into all that he does, but definitely he's done a lot of things for the community as well as for his fellow man, and he continues to strive in, you know, everything that he does. He has his own Blog Talk Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio that airs every Friday called One Eye Open, so if you get a chance, listen to him, you know, every Friday. Without further ado, we're going to bring in our guest because our topic this evening is the feminization of the black male and the masculization of the black female. Without further ado, we're going to bring in Jerome Tucker.
Hello.
Good evening, Jerome. How are you, darling?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. I feel like a Jamaican, boy. I got a lot of jobs there, a lot of stuff
yes,
going on.
Yes, you do. You noticed I said I couldn't get around to everything, because if I did, we'd still be on here tomorrow. But, you know, like they can hear all that, you know, from your lips if you're willing to, you know, let everybody know exactly what you do and, you know, how long you've been doing it. You know, just tell us a little bit more about you. But before you do that, let me bring in my co-host as well. Good evening, Jadino. How you doing, darling?
Hey, how you doing?
I am fantastic.
Busy Wednesday.
Yeah, yes it is. So it looks like just you and I are here this evening. We're waiting for our other co-hosts to call in, but our guest this evening is Jerome Tucker.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing there?
I'm doing well. How do you pronounce your name?
Jadino Blasco, but they always squeeze it together and say Jadino. So that's
Jadino,
fine.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You know, why did you tell me that? Because I was just saying Jadino.
No, that's my new tape. I got like 1,000 nicknames, so I just added that to the awesome.
Oh, okay.
See, on Facebook,
well,
they don't let you use a period. So when you spell your name, you can't put the dot. It's on the Gmail, but on the Facebook, it just says Jadino. So that's how I got it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to discuss that later because I've been just calling you Jadino, and I guess everybody else has. Okay, so getting back to our guest. So you just, you know, give us a little bit more about you, Jerome, and then we'll get into the topic at hand tonight.
Well, one of the things I want to say is that I used to share the microphone with you about 2 years ago on my show, Third Eye Open. You were one of our regular co-host griots, sharing your knowledge about romance and how to sweeten relationships.
Yes, I was.
Yes, you brought the hot to our show. And those segments were quite rewarding, I'll tell you, telling us how to enliven our relationships with the assistance of some of the tools you provided for couples. But
right.
I've been doing Third Eye. I've been hosting Third Eye Open since 2009. I used to teach in Prince George's County. And basically my passion is really empowering people, particularly relationships, and particularly pertains to the African-American community, but really for all relationships, particularly marriage. So
right.
The things that I've done, you know, over the course of my life, you know, I've been married for 33 years, so I have some experience, and it's always a learning, you know, it's always a learning experience when you're married. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. But,
that is true.
You know, it's a process. It's a process. And so often we go into relationships without the understanding of what a relationship is and therefore how to navigate it. And, you know, my pet peeve is where we're standing now in this country, particularly African Americans, in our relationship. It seems like the black man and the black woman have reversed roles. Well, that's what's trying to be brought upon us in this country. So that's my concern. So we can straighten things out and take back control of our family.
Right, and, you know, I'm noticing that a lot, too. You know, it just seems like it's role reversal here. So what do you think the cause of that is? Is it because of the media or just the whole change in the new century? You know, because everybody said, well, we're living in a new century. This is happening. That's happening. You know, what do you think the cause of that is?
Well, I think the main cause, we have to take responsibility for what's going on. You know, if we look at it, we have gotten away from our culture, the things that you know, a lot of people want to go back to slavery and talk about slavery, but it seems to be that's as far as we go back.
Mm-hmm.
And if we really look at who we are as a people, we've given that up. We've thrown that away, you know, and we've tried to emulate and assimilate the majority culture here in the United States. And once we get back to who we are, that's the only way we're going to correct this and really start to respect our own culture and who we are. And so until we do that, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be fighting our kids. Our kids are going to be fighting us. It's not a pretty picture right now. Love my people. Love my people. And I know it's something we can straighten out. But I'm just really passionate about us taking responsibility.
Right. And could you do you think that some of that is actually forced on us, you know, as far as, like, taking those role reversals and, you know, the different things that are going on? Because, you know, so many people are being influenced by the environment and the media, television, songs, and, you know, things of that nature. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, well, it comes back to what I was saying about assimilating. We've gotten into the posture where we have to prove who we are in the establishment, and we're trying to move up the corporate ladder, so there's certain things we have to commit to. We have to commit to playing the game. In the meantime, we lose our the essence of who we are. You know, I remember a time, man, where when we looked at our children, and then we looked at children of the majority community, and we saw our children as, hey, you know, you better not act like that. I remember I used to work in computers years ago, and I remember going out to Food and Drug Administration out of Rockville. And I remember going, there was back then it was People's Drug Store. People's Drug Store on the first floor of the building. And I had gone in, I had done some work, and came downstairs, and I was about to leave. I stopped in the People's Drug Store and got in line. I was buying some candy. And there was a white woman in line beside me, and she was there with her little boy. Her little boy couldn't have been any older than about 6 years old. And we were standing in line. She was standing in line adjacent to mine. And the little boy was, Mommy, Mommy, I want some candy. Mommy, Mommy, I want some candy. And the mom said, no, you're not getting any candy. She said, Mommy, Mommy, I want some candy. And she said, no, you're not getting any candy. So the little boy hauled off and kicked her in the shin, right? And the woman went down on one knee. Right? And so myself, and there was another man standing behind her, she said, you all right? You all right? And she put her hand up. She said, I mean, she was in pain, right? Like, put her hand up. She said, no, no, I'm okay. And she stood up, and she smacked that boy, little white boy. And the white boy was stunned. He turned, I mean, you could see the mark. Now, this was back in the 80s. You could see the mark on the side of the little boy's face.
Right.
But the boy got quiet. He stood beside his mama, and he didn't say another thing. Now, in our community, you're not going to see, well, things might change now, But back then, that wasn't approved behavior in our community, a boy talking back to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
You knew when you went in the store what the deal was, what the limitations
right.
were, what not to ask for, and definitely you're not going to kick your mother. That's not going to happen. And,
right.
and we could see, we would see certain things. And I know when I was young, I'd see a white boy acting out a certain way, and I'd be looking at him. I'd be with my parent, my mother, father, and I'd look at them like, he must be crazy. There's
mm-hmm.
no way I could get away with that. Because discipline was an important part of our culture. And not to say abuse. You know, we've gotten away from the concept. You know, now we're living in a time where we're afraid of our children. We're afraid of them. We're afraid, well, they're
yeah.
going to call the police on me. Well, we have to take care of our home. And I'm not saying you beat your children and, you know, take out a baseball bat and hit them or anything like that. But, you know, we have to boundaries. And that was something we always did because we knew when our children went outside, we'd rather to deal with them in our homes and punish them in our homes than for them to go outside. Because if you don't follow the rules in your home, you aren't going to follow the rules in society.
Right.
What happens is our children, back then, we didn't want them to go out and break the rules because we knew if they broke the rules out there, society was not going to be patient with them or just. And once they got in that system, we knew where it was going from there. But nowadays, we aren't as adamant about taking responsibility for our children. We aren't.
Mm.
We're more interested in being their friends.
And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say because when I had mentioned that, you know, this society and the media have things to do with as far as how times have changed and how we're being influenced by those different things, because I don't know if you saw the video where the father had beat both of his daughters for twerking. I think they were twerking at school or twerking somewhere. And
mm-hmm.
he put it on Facebook. Then there was another video that was put up not too long ago where his father is pulling this little girl's hair. She's 13 years old, calling all kind of bitches and whores and, you know, beating her in public. And then he's saying, this is going to go on Facebook. You know, there's a thing of, you know, your children get out of hand because you don't have a handle on them. You bring your children up from the womb till they're grown, because, you know, you're teaching them things while they're in the womb, and when they come out, you teach them things as soon as they come out. You teach them how to eat, how to drink, how to talk, how to walk. You know, all these things are taught to the children from a very, very young age. And when you don't teach your children right from wrong when they're small, this is what they grow up with. And this girl, she was dressed inappropriately for 13 years old. She had weave in her hair. That's something I would never do to a child of mine at 13 years old, would not wear weave in her hair in the type of outfit that this little girl had on. But getting back to that, I'm quite sure that I don't know if she went and bought those clothes. I know she didn't have a job anywhere. Someone had to buy her those clothes. Maybe she borrowed them from somewhere. But the point that I'm trying to put out is these people are putting these children out on blast on these sites for everybody to see, and they think that's the right thing to do, and people are commenting on, well, that was right, and DC cares. How can you care for your child when you're being very disrespectful to them, number one? Because pulling her hair, calling her all kind of bitches and whores, that was not the proper thing to do. The proper thing I would have done was to, if I was in that situation, but I've never been in that situation with my children, but if I was in that situation, I would have taken her home, set her down and explain to her, you're only 13 years old. Number one, she wouldn't have gotten a weave in her hair. And number two, she would have never been dressing the way she was dressing. You see what I'm saying? So this is my thing. I'm thinking maybe that because we have these social networks and all these different things where people can get on and do all these crazy things that they do, they lose a handle of their children. They never had them from the beginning, because I'm quite sure that that's not the first time that he's had problems out of that little girl. And then the fact of the matter, it just seems like he looked more like he was a rough cut, like he was a drug dealer. I'm not saying that he was, but he didn't have the appearance of a caring father, a parent. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So therefore, I know that little girl, whatever she's going through, she's going to continue to go through that, because that's how it was handled that time. And, like, that may have not even been the first time that something like that has went down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the media, you know, has things to do with it as well.
Well, I think media does have an impact when parents don't take responsibility for their children.
Right.
You know, parenting is, and not to really knock anybody, it's something that we aren't taught, you know. And when you're a child and you grow up, you don't really understand why your parents do what they do when you're a child, you know. A lot of times you think they're mean, and I've heard so many in working with adults, I hear so many adults say, I'm not going to treat my child like my parents treated me.
Right.
And, I mean, that sounds nice, but, you know, one of the things, there were clear lines in our community. And even when you know, and people don't want to do this, but even when you look at Africa, you know, you look at the African families that come over, and they're disciplined when they come
mm-hmm.
over.
Mm-hmm.
They have a discipline in their countries where you don't disrespect your elders.
It's, right.
It's not accepted, period. You don't disrespect the teachers. And that comes from your home and comes from your family. You respect your elders. That used to be a part of our culture also.
Mm-hmm.
When grandma or grandpa says something to you, you might not like it, but you better not say nothing to grandma or grandpa. You
right.
better bite your lip and you do what they tell you. And
right.
we pass it on. We value their wisdom and their knowledge, and we made sure that our children respected them. So we've gotten away from that, and it's gotten to a point where we want to be friends with our children. We want our children to like us. And that's not, I mean, I don't want my children, my concern was not for my children to like me.
Right.
My responsibility when my daughters were young was God gave me these children. I don't want to let God down and not do my part as far as teaching them the values that they need to teach. A friend of mine, Pookie, you know Pookie?
Yeah.
Our host on the show. Yeah, Pookie.
Yeah.
Pookie, I mean, he has a way of saying things that, you know, that a common man can understand, you know, really kind of hits home. He
mm-hmm.
said, with your daughters, you want to keep them off the pole until at least they're 21. If you've done that, if you've done something responsible with your children, and it's to teach them respect for themselves and for others. And so you have to put limitations on them. You have to put responsibility on them, and you have to have boundaries. And so often we don't do that. And so it goes back, everything goes back to our relationships that we have, men and women that we have. And what happens is we get together, a man and a woman will get together, and we don't know who we're getting together with because we both send our representatives, you know, and our representatives are there dealing with one another for the first year, you know, of the relationship. We want to put our best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really don't have serious discussions. We don't really put our thoughts on the table because we want everything to work. Man, she is fine. Look at that behind over there. She is, look at them breasts. They just sitting up nice and perky. I don't want to upset her, you know, and we're thinking about that being our boo, you know, instead of getting to know this person as a person.
Mm. Right.
Thinking, okay, well, she's nice. Okay, I like being around her. Okay, she's friendly. Okay, we have some things in common. Man, I'm really starting to feel her. A personality and a character, man. Maybe this can go into something more, and we don't evolve through the process like that. We just jump straight to boo, and then when things start to come out about them, you know, about their personality, when we've already committed to them as a boo, then we say, oh, he's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not a dog. I mean, if you just waited a little while before you like Steve Harvey said, give him the cookie, if you waited a little while, you would have found this out. And you wouldn't have committed, you know. But we're quick to grab somebody and, you know, and to make it more than it really is or should be. So
right.
we've got to work on our relationship.
Yeah, you're right, you know, as far as like a person who picks, you know, because basically you're picking the person that you want to be with. And it's definitely up to you to know what you're picking, because if you're just picking somebody to be picking somebody, then you get what you pick. but you have to be very discreet and know what you want before you pick what you want. You know, and you got people out just picking to be picking, because you have these women out here that just want a man. They don't care what kind of man he is, as long as they can say, I got a man, you know, opposed to picking a well-versed man, or a man who has class about him, you know, an elite man. You know, they just go for the first thing and that's it. And then as far as, like, giving up the cookies, that can be good and that can be bad, because a man already knows what he wants, and if he wants to be with you, whether you give him the cookies tonight, tomorrow, next week, or whenever, he's going to be with you regardless. But if he just, that's the only thing that's on his mind,
wait. Say that again. Say what you just said again. If a man,
he already has his mind made up that if he wants to be with you, and it doesn't matter whether you give him the cookies tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, whatever. But there are the men that will wait. Now, he'll wait, and once he get them cookies, he still could leave. But, you know, a man knows what he wants. So that can be a good thing if you wait, and then sometimes you're just waiting, and it'll be a waste of time. You just have to know, you know, it's best if this person will be honest and open and upfront with you from the beginning and let you know, well, hey, this is all I want. I just want to sleep with you. I don't want no relationship, you know, and that'll work. But if you're just, holding on to this person to get to have sex with them, and then once you get it, you're gone. This person's waited, and, you know, that's not right. So,
I would dare to say something a little different. I mean, I work with men. Some of the men are sent to us by the court system. Some men come in voluntarily, men and women, both. Some women are sent to us because anger management, child support issues, abuse, assault, drug program, whatever. They're sent to us by the courts, and so they have to go through our 10-month program. When they come in, we deal with them, we train them, facilitate them on relationships, anger management, forgiveness, things like that. So most times, to be honest with you, most men are I want to say vultures. if you can see the most beautiful woman,
mm-hmm.
and you step to her, this is most men, not all, but most. I'm gonna say a lot of men. And if she's willing to give it up right then, he's gonna take it.
Right.
Regardless, he might look at her as, man, this could be the woman, you know, of my dreams. But if she gives it up right then that's adjusted how he looks at her, you know, because if she'll give it up that easy to me, you know, she'll probably give it up that easy to anybody, you know, and those are the kind of things that go through our mind. If she'll get freaky with me the first night, well, this probably ain't the first time she's done this, you know, so, you know, and here's really what kind of, this is what I've kind of learned, and, you know, there's some spiritual aspects to it also. You know, everything has a purpose.
Right.
Everything has a purpose. A pencil has a purpose. Your glasses has a purpose. A book has a purpose. A chair has a purpose. We as people have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if let's say you align with your purpose, and you're going to fulfill your purpose. You're a woman, and mm-hmm. say I'm a man. Okay, so mm-hmm. I'm a man. I have a purpose. So in my life, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm looking to change the world, okay? So I'm living for that purpose, and then I meet you. And so I'm looking at you, and we spend some time together, and should I see that, okay, man, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm looking for in my life, the kind of energy, kind of life I'm trying to live, man, I've been with you for 3 years now, and what I'm trying to do, you kind of fit into that, you know. You could be my companion, as far as me living that purpose. I mean, you can go along, man. I'm happy doing what I love doing, and you're in my life too, and you bring the joy to it. Man, this is gonna work, you know. And we can do this from now on. Oh, this is great, you know. But so you're looking, you know, as a woman, you're looking at this guy and say, yeah, you know, I want to be treated a certain way. I want a certain quality of life, and I want to feel a certain way when I'm with my man. And man, I get this from him. As I'm living and he's doing something, and hey, you know, I'd like to be a part of that, what he's doing, and I can bring what I do who I am, who I'm fulfilling in my life too, so I can be happy. And deep down, that's kind of how we're feeling when we get with one another. We say, "Oh yeah, this is the happily ever after," you know. And so we get together with that in mind. But what happens after we say "I do"? Then we focus. It seems that we focus so much attention on the relationship. We start looking at, well, you know, she doesn't like for me to go out, or she wants, you know, I'm married now, so I have to be different as far as what I do and how I do it. But yet, what makes us the happiest is really when we're living in the purpose that God created us to do, when we're doing the things that we do easily and we do it well. Mm-hmm. And we are supposed to be going through this thing together, but we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the vision on where we're going as a couple, and we kind of turn our vision more towards one another. So it stagnates. You know, our relationships, they stagnate, and we don't grow. Because we, oh, this is how we're supposed to be. This is how married couples are supposed to react to one another and how they're supposed to be to one another. You have to stop doing this and you have to stop doing that. And so it's more restrictive. And married people are the ones that give marriage a bad name. I'll tell you, you know. It's not the people on the outside. It's the people that are married. You know, they get married, man. Yeah, the old battle axe is over there. The ball and chain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my old man over there. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. And so people look at it, and people, that's not what people want. People don't want to be restricted. We want our lives to be better. So we don't understand. We don't live for that purpose and say, okay, is this person going to fit in my life? We just want, sometimes we just want companionship. Mm-hmm. We just want somebody to lay with. You know, I want a piece I can roll over with. You know, and it's there, you know. But what happens? What happens after that? So we've got to learn about relationships and know about ourselves. Most times we don't even know who we are.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. And if any of your listeners out there have a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I see you, my two other co-hosts on the line. We're going to bring you back in after the break.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel, title Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copy of Back to Zero and any of my other books from my website. That's www.jjpublishing.com. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers the service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my clients while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as a seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing Service a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.jjpublishing.com. After you make your purchases, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting on you. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice.
Wow, that's the late Barry White, Practice What You Preach. And every time I hear that song, something goes through me.
Barry White.
Yes, he was. Yes. Okay, I'm going to bring in my other two co-hosts, my co-hosts and my guest co-hosts, Rhea and Jade. Are you there? Good evening.
Good evening. How's everybody doing?
We're okay. Our guest this evening is Jerome Tucker. We've been talking about the feminization of the black male and the masculinization of the black female, their role reversals. You know, we've seen that going on. We touched on a few subjects here, so if anybody has any questions or comments, like I mentioned before the break, feel free to call in. The call-in number again is 646-652-2877, and I do see a caller with their hand up, so I'm going to bring this caller in. 240-603, are you there?
Hello, Delicious.
Hi. Who is this?
It's the one and only. It's Pookie, baby.
Hey, Pookie. How are you? How have you been?
Oh, man, life is great. Life is great. How you doing?
I am doing fabulous, darling. Just fabulous. Just good to
hot
hear
topic
your
tonight.
Voice.
Yeah,
huh?
Real hot topic tonight. Real hot
yes.
topic tonight.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What's up, DeJuan?
Hey, it's going great, man. It's going great. I appreciate you joining me.
Let me tell you something, man. You know, I was touching on, back when y'all was touching on about how times have changed, you know what I'm saying? And, you know how we do. We go straight and we crack it to the white meat. You know, that Willie Lynch that started this thing almost like 300 years ago. You know, we're talking about this thing was planned when I'm talking about turning the whole natural order around, you know, and one time the woman was depending on the man, now it's the man depending on the woman, you know. I mean, he didn't turn us around to a point where he pits the young against the old and the old against the young. And we're seeing that today.
So let me ask you something, Pookie. As a black man, how personally, forget everything that's going on, what do you want? What do you personally want from a black woman? I mean, in looking for a black woman, what are some of the attributes, characteristics you look for in a black woman?
I mean, I want her to be what she was created to be, you know, to give me that comfort, console me, and just give me peace. You know what I'm saying?
And
backbone.
And most black men love black women, love them. I mean, we want our queens to be queens. We want them to be women. And one of the things I think that turns us off is some of it's become a time of images. It's more images than people, you know. We get all these catchphrases, you know, from, and this goes into the masculinity of a black female and the femininity of a feminization of a black man. Is that you know, men want, if women, now I'll ask anybody, is your co-host named Leah? Is that her name?
Rhea. Yeah,
hey,
Rhea,
how you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Hey,
Rhea. Well. Rhea, are you in a relationship right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So with your significant other, I'm going to ask you this question, and be honest with me. Would you say that you know how to get their attention? I mean, you know how, if you want something, you know how to really get something from them?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask for it.
I'm sorry?
I'm just going to ask for it.
You're going to come out and ask for it?
I'm not a game player. I'm just going. I'm going to say what I want to say, what I need, and that's just it.
Okay. So if I were to meet you in a club and I was to come up to you and say, hey, look, I want some of that behind. You cool with that?
And I would look at you and say, not tonight. Try me again tomorrow. See you later. And keep on moving. Oh.
Why is that? Why would that be?
Because I'm not, well, if I was interested in you, we want the same thing. But if I'm not, because I'm not interested in giving you none of my behind.
Okay. All right. So what happens when you want something from a guy And at that time, he not interested maybe in how you bringing it to him.
Then he's not interested.
Okay.
I'm a straight shooter. I don't know how to candy coat. When I tell you I don't know how to play the game, it goes so far over my head, it's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I think that's one of the things that we as a people have to work on, because, you know, most of the times we'll do things for people when we feel respected, when we feel valued, and when we feel loved. And if there's someone special in our lives and they treat us special, then we're apt to do more for that person, for the purpose of doing it for them, not necessarily whether I want to or not. And see, in relationships, I think that's where we need to be strengthened at, is when we're not doing it for ourselves. You know, when we're in a relationship, we're doing it for the other person because we care, because we want to make their lives better. We're connected to their feelings. And, you know, I tell my wife all the time, you know how to get from me what you want. You know how to get it. My wife, if she come over to me and I'm sitting down watching TV and she come over and sit on my lap, Or she whisper in my ear, lick me in my ear, something like that. She got my attention. I don't care what's going on. She got my attention. And it puts me in a different mood, and it strengthens our relationship. See, I think one of the things that, you know, we black men and black women, we don't love each other, bring enough love into it. There's all of these images that we have that we have to portray, you know, because of society, because of our jobs, because we have to put up this image. And when you're dealing with people, people want personal relationships. I want you to do something with me because of what we have. I don't want you because of Valentine's Day, oh, I'm going to get you this. All right? It don't matter on Valentine's Day.
Jerome, sex has been devalued so much today, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know, sex is like, it's like your 401k. Once you take it out, you lose all the interest, man.
Mm.
You know, and this is how it is. We've been so cold today.
Mm.
You know,
we talk about being so cold. I mean,
I want to make love, you done said something wrong. You either got to have sex or fuck. It's like
that
other thing don't exist no more.
Yeah.
And
it has
been devalued.
I'm sorry, say that again, Rhea. You say it one more time.
I said that's part of the devaluing of it. People look at it as sex or fucking. People don't know what it is to make love anymore.
Well, I mean, we just listened to Barry White. And Barry White, you know, he didn't come out and say, I want to fuck. That's not what he said.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's why I asked you. You said I'm just going to come out and say what I want. And that's on that same line of, you know, just coming out and saying it and not really putting there's anything behind it. So, no, there's not going to be a relationship. But if you come out like that, how do you expect me to respond? If you come at me cold, do you expect me to respond to you in a cold manner?
See, that's different. To me, that's different. You asked me a question. If I wanted something, do I know how to get what I want from? Yeah, I do. Okay? And I'm basically, first of all, my relationship is not that old. We just had our first year anniversary yesterday. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And we've never had sex. We haven't had sex yet.
Okay.
And that is not something that have we been intimate? Yes. Have we necked and cozied up? Yes. But we both pulled back for whatever reason, and we could see whatever. So it just wasn't time yet. If you had to ask me if I wanted him to make love to me, would I know how to? Yes. You act on it. But if I want something from him, when you asked me that question, the first thing came to my mind was the games that people play. I'm not a game player. If I want something from you, I'm going to tell you what it is I want.
Why if I asked you if you wanted something from him, why, I mean, and you've got a relationship with this man?
Yes.
Okay, I have to ask that question nowadays. I just wonder if you want something from that man, I asked you about something from a man, why is the first thing that comes to your mind about a game? You know the man that you're with. You know what kind of relationship you have with that man.
Exactly.
Okay. So why did game come? Is he playing games with you?
No. But
okay,
nowadays,
so,
I'm a 51-year-old woman that was without a relationship for 25 years because I refused to play games.
Okay, but see, here's what I'm saying to you, Rhea. And I feel you. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, what I think might benefit you, and I'm not saying you're not doing well now, but here's where I think men, we'd like to see women be, because of those games you 51 years old that you played, that don't have nothing to do with the man you're with now. That don't have nothing to
no,
do with.
No, it does.
Okay, so wait a minute. So when I asked you about this man right here, you went back to before him.
Because I went to generalization.
Let me say this. Go ahead, and then I'll let you. Because I asked you specifically about this man. I asked you, are you in a relationship right now?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I said, with this man that you're with right now, I asked you that purposely to see how you would respond. And
exactly.
So I was looking for how you would deal with this man that you have right now, that you've been with for a year. And
Can I intervene?
Sure, sure.
I really want to say something. I'm sorry. I'm Jay.
Okay.
I'm her other co-host.
Okay.
The reason that a lot of times women – hey, how are you? That women do that, if they were in a bad relationship, and there's some men that do it too, so y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I've known men to do the same thing. If you're in a bad relationship, you kind of put your guard up and you hold an expectation for the worst when you get into another relationship. So you kind of like, okay, here's the thing. I don't want to play no games. So you have that image is already in you because of what you've been through in another relationship. Is it right? No, it's not right because you're not supposed to judge somebody immediately. But depending on how you've been treated in a previous relationship, or if it's been a pattern from relationship to relationship, you're going to come into another relationship guarded. Does that make sense? And so
Next question. You just said something like patterns. Then when a woman goes to a certain pattern of the same type of relationship, is there a point when she has to start looking at herself?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
You know, you were talking about how a woman goes, been in, let's say, five relationships, and they were all in the same pattern.
I think he was trying to figure out a resolution to and understanding why Rhea would say, you know, I'm not playing any games in this. Well, he's asking her, why do you think that this gentleman would be playing games? So I asked you this for a reason. I kind of see where she's coming from, so that's why I wanted to say, if Rhea has been in a relationship before, where there is games, let's say that there's cheating or some type of abuse or something, we come into the next relationship guarded. Because you already talked about in the beginning of the show, you're talking about against feminine and masculine. So this is what happens sometimes within a relationship. So I'm just saying. Is it supposed to happen? No. So
did you hear what Pookie asked you?
No, because I was trying to answer your question, but okay, go ahead, Pookie. I'll keep quiet.
Let y'all do y'all talk. Go ahead. No, I'm not saying to keep quiet. I want to hear what you said, but yeah, and I think what Pookie is saying answers that question. And he was answering. Go ahead, Pookie.
We were talking about a lot of times. Well, you know, when women. Say a woman's been in five relationships, and they're all with the same thing, abuse, cheating, you know what I'm saying, same pattern. You know, as a point that she has to look at herself now, what is she attracting?
Okay, well, then that's kind of different than what earlier. I'm just giving you a scenario and explaining to you, well, not a scenario because I didn't give you the scenario. I gave you the reason to why a lot of women do what they do, how their action is when they become guarded. Why are they guarded? I think that that was the question that came out. So that was my answer. I was just letting you know why some women are simply guarded. It's just I just want to quickly give you an example.
Okay.
If someone is hurting an animal, a dog or something, and abusing the dog consistently, hitting the dog in their face or whatever the case may be, you may have another person that goes to simply reach for that dog. They're treating that dog with love. You understand what I'm saying? A new relationship, new owner, and that dog jumps because he's guarded. He doesn't know what's getting ready to happen. So naturally, when it comes to a person's response, if they consistently have seen a pattern within it, I get what the brother is saying. You have to look at yourself, and that is true, because sometimes we do attract. And a lot of women, when we say, you know, we're dealing with these ancient niggas, why do I keep on going with finding these same group of guys? What is going on with me? And then you always say, you know, a lot of times the women will say, I keep messing with them. They just, men ain't dogs. They dogs. They ain't shit. You know, this, that, and the other. And then that's when we have to look at ourselves. Yeah, I get that. We have to look at ourselves and see what is it that we are attracting to get these ancient brothers that we consider ancient. Because evidently it's something that we are attracting. I get that. But what I'm saying to you is naturally when you were talking about pattern and you had said to her about her pattern, why is she thinking that, I was just answering you and just saying this is why it's a natural reaction sometimes for people to come into a relationship and be guarded because of an experience. Uh-huh. Again, what I'm saying is that right? No, it's not. So I'm answering your question.
Well, then, what I would say is, then you don't need to be looking for another relationship. I mean, if you're gonna, and I understand what you're saying as far as being guarded. Well, what you do is then you just go out and you just meet people, and you don't. And if I'm not mistaken, Rhea, you said you just celebrated the anniversary.
We turned a year old yesterday.
A year.
Yes.
Congratulations,
Maria. Thank you, baby.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm saying, because if Rhea is valuing herself, really valuing herself, then over the course of this year, she's with this guy for a year because she sees something positive and hopefully not the same thing that she's seen in those other guys that were negative, whether it was abuse or whatever it was, that she wasn't comfortable with in the course of this year. I would hope so, Rhea. All right? I hope you're not getting the same thing and you're just sticking in there for a year. So if you've been with this gentleman for a year, then if over the course of a year you still aren't to the point where you feel like he's going to shoot you game, then I think it's time for you to make a decision on not to be with this person. Because you've been with a year and he's still shooting you game, or you're concerned with him shooting you game, then why are you in that relationship? That would be my question.
Now, just to give you a little bit more history, this is a guy that I've known for 38 years. This is a guy that I've known since I was 12 years old and he was 13 years old. We already have a history. We have a history that we didn't act on before. Part of the reason why if I want something from him, I just come out and say it, is because he coaxed me out of biting my tongue. And he would say to me, Rhea, just say it. Like, if I have a thought, because I can be very brisk, and I can be very harsh in my thinking sometimes. And so he'll say, just say it. And he picked that out of me. So with him, yes, I would just come out and say whatever. I said, but when it came to that, I haven't been in many relationships. He's only number two in my lifetime. I was married for 32 years. And I did stay with that marriage because it was a marriage. Then I finally realized that either I was going to let that dead-ass marriage go or one of us was going to end up that way. And that was just that. But it's the way society looks. I'm a overweight woman, so I'm supposed to be easy and supposed to accept anything that comes my way. And you want to play games. I'm not out here to play games. I don't take well to games. So when you asked me that question, I asked it in a broad sense. I asked it because of the way our relationship is and also because of the way society is in general.
That's the problem. And don't get me wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong. See, as men, I'm sharing it to you from the other side. Okay, I hear what you're saying. But what I'm saying is we have to understand when we talk to one another, we have to understand where the other person is coming from. Because one of the issues, one of the biggest issues in relationships is communication.
Exactly.
It's the biggest, the number one.
Okay.
No one knows how to talk to each other.
And men's words, we listen to each other. And what the words and what they mean and whether or not you back them up and where you're coming from and what you say about us. So I heard you say a couple of things that what you said was you've known him for a long time. And this is more reason for me to question what you say. And you said, and I'm just saying this so we can understand the communication. You said you've known him for a long time. He brought you out to the point where now you're willing to say what's on your mind, which I'm hearing from you, that's a positive thing. Am I right in that? There's a good thing that he's bringing you out to say these things? Are you taking it as a good thing?
It is a good thing.
Okay, I'm just asking from your perspective. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So when I asked you that, your response, not mine, your response was, I'm not trying to play games. Now, this is a person who has brought you out of the game plan to be open and honest, so you must trust him. You must trust him in order for you to now start speaking your mind. So if you trust him, and I ask you about him, your relationship with him, and you come out of your mouth with, I don't want to play games, you understand what I'm saying?
Because I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I don't still have a part of me that's guarded.
No, okay, that's fine.
There is still
that's
a
fine.
Part of me that's guarded. And right. It's like I said to him, to you, I said to him, I don't want to play the games. Just if we can't be honest and forthright and communicate with each other, just move on. And we've already, and that's part of what it is. I don't want to have to sit here and worry. I don't want to have to sit here and wonder. I don't have time for it because I will end it and walk away from it.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying.
Maybe it's her deliverance and you're not
understanding. No, I understand what she's saying. I'm hoping you can hear what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying, and I hear what you have behind it, but what I'm trying to explain to you is, as a man, what we're hearing on the other side. And see, one of the things, you know, I hear this thing all the time, and it's a misnomer. You hear that women communicate better than men. Women communicate better than men. And if I'm speaking German and you're speaking French and you don't understand German and I don't understand French, are we communicating?
No.
Okay. So we've got to communicate. It's a back and forth. And you have to understand, women have to understand what men are saying and how they interpret what's being said. And men have to understand how women interpret what they're saying. We have to understand one another. It's not just, hey, I said this, and you have to understand that, and this is where I meant it. It don't matter how you take it. That's what you call communication. And so when I'm talking to Pookie, it ain't a matter of playing games. I'm saying what I'm saying because this is how I feel. I'm going to put it out there on the table. He's saying what he's saying. He's going to take it how I put it, and he's going to deal with it the way I put it.
He takes it because it's how you receive it. You may not be sometimes a person's deliverance. Like maybe her deliverance is not not what you're expecting. Maybe you're expecting her to say something different or say it in a different way. And that's why you're trying to get to the root. But it depends on when it comes to community. Go ahead.
So when I say to you, just like now, just like we're talking, so when I say to you, this is how it comes across, and you're not saying, okay, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, no, this is how I meant it. Well, I understand how you meant it, but I'm telling you how it came across. So now, if I'm telling you how it came across, and so the answer would be how you and I would resolve this would be to talk it through so that, you know, you would understand in what you say to me. I'm at a point where, and I'm not speaking for him.
Right.
For me, it says, okay, why did you even say that? Why would you, if I'm talking to my wife and we're having a conversation and I say to her, I ain't playing no games. Then she said, wow, you know, I ain't playing, why are you saying that to me? We've been together all this time. You know, we at a certain point, we beyond the games. What is it in your mind? So the issue is not.
Right, and that's why I said maybe it's the deliverance, because sometimes it is how we deliver a message and how
but
you
that's
receive
okay.
them.
But see, no, here's what I'm saying. It's okay. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. But, okay, when it happens, how do we work through it? And that's what we're doing now. You know, it's not somebody's right and somebody's wrong. This is just the way the communication is going to be different. So we need to talk our way through it so we're in the same place. That's all I'm saying. And see, we have the conversation goes on. It doesn't stop there. Well, you said that and you meant this, and so I get an attitude, or I didn't mean it that way. I meant it like this, and then he get an attitude. That's where everything breaks down. If our purpose, if we're looking beyond that and we know who we are, I know my wife loves me and I love my wife. So the things we talk about, I can sit there and talk to her through it and say, look, this is what happens. This is what it feels. You came across this way. And why would you say that? And at sometimes she'll get upset because I question it, right? And then it'll be like, well, I'm just talking to you so we can work through it. So the next time we'll understand what's going on, so we don't have to deal with this, you know, so we're communicating on the base. And that's
okay,
how
you just said, you just made several key points. First of all, you know your wife, and your wife know you, okay? We're still working. We're still getting to know each other.
On a relationship standpoint.
Exactly.
Deeper than,
so,
yeah.
Once you know that person, you know how to communicate with that person. You all communicate. You all can communicate without even having any verbiage at all. Your disposition and all that is going to be part of your communication once you've gotten to know each other.
So that's why I asked you. If we're basing on that, okay, we're basing on that. So the question that I asked you was, if they're, you know, the person that you're with right now, right, are you in a relationship? You said yes. And you mentioned about you being with them for a year, okay? It's an anniversary. You mentioned that, okay? So I asked you, do you know how, if there's something that you want from this person, do you know how to get it from them, don't you? And you say, I'm going to come out direct because I don't want to play no game. Right? Because you've been in relationships. Wait, am I correct in what I'm saying? Because I've been in relationships, and a lot of people play games. What I'm saying This is all I'm saying, and I can kind of let it go.
Okay, because we do have other callers on the line.
Right, no problem. And I really want to make this point. I want to drive this point home.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in a relationship with you, I don't give a damn about society. I don't care what other people are doing. Our thing is what you and I have established over time. Deal with me according to how I've dealt with you and what you've seen from me. I don't care about who else you've been with. I don't care about what they did. I don't care. I've been with you for a year.
You may not care, but it exists.
Wait a minute. I've been with you for a year. What have you seen from me in a year?
In a year,
well,
you're still growing.
Right. Well, we're going to pick up we're going to pick up this other caller. Excuse me. Caller 301-352. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, this is Bill and Stacy.
Bill and Stacy?
Hey, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Okay,
well,
you guys have a question or comment?
I guess I got a comment and maybe a question, but it sounds like control, people want to control other people, really, in a lot of these relationships. And people want to prove whatever they want to prove. And it really kind of just gets in the way of the relationship. A lot of what you're talking, it's like if you've been with the guy for a year and you ask him, you know, you said you could tell him, you could talk to him any way you want to talk to him, and he's cool with that. That's cool.
No, she didn't say talk to him anyway.
No, she didn't.
She could ask him. She didn't say talk to him anyway. She could ask him for anything.
Well, I don't understand that. I'm not understanding. What do you mean you could ask him anything you want to ask him?
Right.
Like,
my question was.
Well, Jerome had asked a question. Jerome had asked a question about, you know, question their relationship, and if she wanted something from him, how would she go about it? And she said she would ask him for it. So she wasn't saying that she's, you know, speaks to him any kind of way. She would ask him for it directly. You know, that's what she had said.
I said anything that you want from a man, you know how to get it from him, right? And I said. And basically what I said was, you know, my wife wants something from me. She knows she'd sit on my lap. She'd come over, whisper in my ear, lick me on my ear, whatever. She got my attention. She got my full attention. And so, and that's kind of when, you know, she made the comment on how, you know, hey, I just ask and I ain't going to play no games. I'm going to just come out and say, you know, and ask what I want. And I just asked about, you know, playing the games. Why did that come in there? Why did that whole concept come in there? That's kind of how it went.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So it sounds a little like to me that this playing game thing is associated with trust, and it's really difficult to build a relationship if you don't trust someone. So I think that's kind of the essence of what we got from what we were hearing, is that, you know, you can't be in a healthy relationship unless you trust the person that you're with. So depending on what baggage you're bringing into the relationship, that's going to affect how you manage that. And that's really your responsibility, not the other person. And if you've been in other relationships that you haven't resolved those issues, then maybe that's where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Trust is the main thing. You know, to me, I believe, like, when we play in this relationship, let's put our cards on the table face up, all trust. So you can see the moves I make, I can see the moves you make. And a lot of them are scared to do that, though.
Yeah.
No.
Can I respond to that, Ms. Delicia?
Yeah.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, sister. It just called in. I don't know your name. So the reason that a lot of females, and this is from me, you know, I coach and talk to females a lot when they're in a relationship. Sometimes, you know, women are in abusive relationships. This is why that behavior happens, though. It's because they're being guarded. They don't know how to, when you say it's their responsibility, they don't know how to come into a new relationship. They're fearful if they've been in an abusive relationship for a long time, amount of years or whatever. So they come into this relationship wanting to trust this guy. They want to have, they feel like he is beautiful, he's treating them lovely. But that guard is up. Some women will come in a relationship, and if he just walks up on them, talking, having a heated discussion, they jump. They think this brother's going to hit me just like the last one did. It is their guard. It is a natural reaction for some females to feel that way, and they have to learn in this relationship to trust and start putting those guards down. That's what I'm wanting people to understand. So we hear what you're saying. Y'all have valuable points. We get that. But what Rhea is simply saying is, this is how, when she says, I'm not into games, I'm just not into going through what I went through last time. So maybe it was her deliverance, because sometimes, again, sometimes it's our deliverance. Communication is the key. So sometimes for the receiver needs to say to a person, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction, wait a second, this is what I'm getting out of what you're saying, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, if that's not what you mean, because this is how I'm feeling that you're saying this to me. So then go ahead.
No, I think we're talking about two different things. I mean, abuse,
I don't think
thing.
So, but okay.
Either way, I think the proper thing to tell that person at that point is, and one of the big problems we have is we're in one of those relationships that you're talking about, and we jump right into another relationship. And we don't heal. We don't take time to find ourselves. And to why am I going to do, if that's the kind of situation I was in, what I need to do is I need to stay out of a relationship, find myself, go someplace and get around some people where I'm around some other men and women. So then when we're in a situation and they come to me and they reach out to grab, if I'm a woman, they reach out to grab my hand to dance and I'm still jumping, well, I ain't ready for another relationship. But we're so quick to jump into relationships, you got to have somebody. And so we bring that baggage into that relationship. We haven't healed. We need to heal ourselves first, relax, get our minds straight, get over the trauma that we've just been in, and then we can start, once we know who we are and work on ourselves, then we can go out there and we can interact with people to have in a healthy relationship as we
Oh, you're
early.
Right. You're right. It doesn't
have to be a love
relationship. People hold on to that trauma for years. So sometimes women don't just jump into a relationship. Sometimes that trauma, that flashback is still with them for years.
Yeah, but that's why I said if now you're going out and you're socializing with people and you're around people and you go to the bowling alley and the other guy that's bowling with you, that's just a friend, you don't have any, because you're bringing that to a relationship and they're just a friend and they're going to give you a high five because you got a spare and you jump, you know, then you got some healing to do. You don't need to be in a relationship because you got issues.
You're right. That sometimes back. It takes a lot for us to heal, and sometimes we don't know
then,
how to.
Then take the time. Take the time. If it takes a lot for you to heal, then take the time. There's no rush
you know
to
what?
Into a relationship. That's
You're
all
right.
I'm saying.
You're right.
And see, we have to do the things we have to do to create a healthy relationship, not jump into a relationship and, well, you got to deal with this. Come on. But when we come into that, we put these expectations on the other person to deal with my drama. You got to deal with this. This is just the way I am.
That's where the communication comes in at. Because if they're both sitting down and talking, because a lot of times people don't know how to talk, they don't know how to bring in, here's what I went through, they're scared to talk about it. But if that communication was open, if that frequency was there to open that up, then a lot of times you can have that gentleman say, I'm not that man, and I'm not going to treat you like that. Then she can sit there and say whether she wants to, in her mind, have bringing that guard down. You understand what I'm saying? Because we were just talking about communication, right? So sometimes that communication is not open for that person to even come out and say, this is what happened to me in my previous relationship. Sometimes people don't even want to bring that up. They don't even want to talk about what happened in their previous relationship. They try not to live that nightmare again, but it just still comes up and resurfaces.
But that's not fair to the other person. Let me give you an example. So we're talking about healing, right? You have a child and another, your girlfriend, they have a child. And that child has pneumonia, the flu, or measles or something like that. And that child hasn't healed. And they bring that child over to your child to play. You're not going to communicate with them, well, they got the measles.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, well, let your child heal. And then after your child healed, then you can bring them over and play with my children. And, we're bringing drama.
My phrasing than there was in Pookie, it was a difference in perception, and there was a difference in what was said. Me and Pookie basically said the same thing. He said, put all your cards on the table. I said, I'm not into game playing. Same damn difference.
There we
right.
go. Put them on the table, face
and,
up.
And I just and,
exactly.
and I just want to say something about the communication thing, because it's not just someone having some type of trauma. Communication is the key for everything. I've seen healthy relationships where they're getting along, but their sex life is not too good because they're not communicating. So communication is important all the way around. Whether you're going into a relationship and you're trying to heal from some type of trauma that you've been through in a previous relationship, or you're good, confident, but you don't know how to talk to the person to explain what you want. Because sometimes we don't even know how to tell a person what we want. We're scared we're going to get judged.
Okay, but
so
what you're saying? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so, yes, amen. I agree with everything you said. But that goes back to what I said. We come out of relationships, and that's our biggest issue. We go into relationships, and we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how we feel. We don't know what we want. We just came through something. We know we don't want that, but we don't know what we want because we haven't spent time with ourselves to discover who we are and where we are. And so we bring our representative to the relationship, how we think it's supposed to be. I'm not going to tell you up front, hey, I got these issues when I first meet you. You're not going to do that. You're going to wait until you're going to wait a while, and after you get in a relationship, and then you feel a certain way, okay, this is the person, now I'm going to spring it on, you know? And what I'm saying is, if we really want to be honest, you know, as Rhea's saying, then you bring that up front.
I did it in the first week.
I'm giving you a completely different example, sir, but okay. I got you.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, and it comes with being honest and being comfortable with who you are. We have to be comfortable, 100% comfortable with who we are, so I can present myself to you, so that you know who you're dealing with. If I got this drama and I feel it's something that's holding me back, then I mean, we wouldn't put that on anybody else. We wouldn't put that on our children. We wouldn't do that. We try to protect our children from those things. Why? Because we care for them, we love them, and we don't want that to impact our relationship. We don't want to bring that out in this relationship with our children where I'm upset, I don't trust my children, and these kinds of things. We don't want to do that. And I think we have to see, and here's the thing. We'll do that for our children, but we won't do that for this person that we're looking at seriously. And here's the thing. Like I said, we've been married 33 years, and when we started off, it was just me and her. And then our children came along. So if because of our children, that changes our relationship, right, then what happens when our children are gone? So now we're stuck together, but because of our children came along and our relationship changed, now we're back with one another, and that's going to happen, hopefully, if you know, one of us don't die. We haven't seen the long haul in this relationship and what it's going to go through, the process. All of those things are possible.
You know, another thing with relationships, we jump into them too early, being exclusive with each other. Well, me, I don't mind. I said, look here, Gail, you can still see other guys, and I'm going to see other women. I said, I got to learn you first. I just can't say it's all about me, it's all about you. I don't even know you yet. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like that new cell phone you get. Most of us don't read the directions. We just take it out, and we learn it as we go on.
And that's how
you do the relationship. That's exactly how a person does a relationship. It's just a natural reaction.
Can I step in here a little bit?
But you go back and read the directions later. Everything ain't working out. Yes,
well, unfortunately, a relationship with a person doesn't come with directions, but okay.
Hey, Bill, by that time, you didn't read 3 or 4 phones when you read the directions.
And see, one of the things that doesn't happen, like we're having this communication, and I appreciate you guys, you know, for talking through this. Because so many men and women, black women, men and women, don't talk through these type of things. Now, what we're saying is we're talking about what we're men and what we're thinking and how we're thinking. All right. So many times we hear when men don't express themselves, men don't have feelings. We're telling you how we feel. If you want to put it in the equation or not, that's up to you. But that doesn't change, you know, where we're coming from. And one of the things that men, particularly black men, have to deal with now is all these images and all of these icons and these caricatures that we're up against as far as to talk to women. I'm this way. I'm an independent woman. Independent. Well, if we get together, how are you independent? And you're not up to my level. Up to your level. We're all human beings. You're human. I'm a human.
Hello.
Can I just jump in there a minute, please? Sure.
Okay, first of all, this is authoress Terry E. Lyle. I want to say congratulations, Rhea, for your anniversary of 1 year. And welcome to the guests and as well as the host. But what I like to say, I've been listening to y'all talk, is that we cannot help being, you know, used to a certain pattern the way we were raised. Because as children, as we grow into adulthood, we formulate the person that we are by what we have been involved in, what we have seen, what the people who are peers and our guardians have taught us. Then we take this into adulthood, and then along the way, everybody is going to get hurt. That's life. If you live long enough, you will get hurt. But the thing that I see is that people are not being real, because if I have been abused, if I got baggage, if I'm hurt, like you was talking about flinching when somebody tried to touch you, that's because of the scars of your past. The thing is, people just need to know how to respect that other person as themselves, because regardless of what you went through, regardless of what I went through, you can't hold me accountable for what someone else has done to you and vice versa. So what I'm saying is, to get into a relationship, to me, number one, I would do like the one guy said, I will take my time to observe you, to see whether you have anger management problems, to see whether you beat on women, to see whether you are a cheapskate, to see whether you are a runaround man, you know. And then if the person got enough things that I'm comfortable with, that I might can work with this person, it's about a working relationship. Just like when you're on a job, you know, you do this, I do that, and together we are a good fit. No one will be perfect, so don't expect that. But the thing is, in any relationship, just make sure there's a respect level. Because for people who have been damaged and for the people who are afraid to trust and venture out, if I was a person in that relationship and that person was suffering from that, then I will be a big enough person to have the foresight to see, because I've heard and I've observed that this person has some areas that's very tender, and I would love them through that. You know, I would talk to them and say the things that they might not want to say. Like I might say to you, if it's a guy, baby, I know you went through this, but it's okay. You know, I'm cool with that. Talk them through that so they can open up and expose that area that's been wounded that they have embraced for such a long time, trying to protect it, because that's what we're supposed to do. When we get wounded, we try to protect ourselves. So if you start with basic respect and communication and just have the foresight to see beyond the pain that someone is going through, then maybe you will have a relationship that will build into that enormous trust, will build into that big love. But it's just like a seed. You got to plant it and you got to nurture it. And that's what relationships about, nurturing it and getting past the little stage where you're a little wobbly because you're dealing with a lot of baggage of your past. And eventually that will dissipate. And then you will go through some things together that will build the glue, the foundation to make a healthy relationship. But that's just my opinion.
Well, I think one of the things the difference between...
How you doing, beautiful? Fine. I'm sorry. We're cutting off your guests. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay. Go ahead. I'm a guest.
No, go ahead. I was saying I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm not trying to...
And I think that's one of the differences between men and women. I mean, when you look at most times before men and women get married, a man, you know, sees a woman and you're in a relationship, and it's like, man, okay, this is someone I know. If I marry someone, I'm going to be responsible for this person for the rest of my life. And we go through and we see this woman. Say, man, okay, the way this woman is right now, man, I could deal with this for the rest of my life. I want to be with this woman. How this relationship is right now, I want this to be this way for the rest of my life. And I heard some of this in there. What she was saying is that a lot of times women, you know, we want you to stay the same, And a lot of times, I'm not saying all, but a lot of times women, when they get married, they're thinking about how they're going to change the man, how they're going to make the man into this, and how we're going to work this. And I think
that will not ever work, because the thing is, whatever way that man is going to be, even if you think that you're changing him, even if he conformed for a minute, eventually he's going to go back to that same man. And don't be shocked when you say, oh, my God, he has changed. No, he is what he is. The bottom line is we're all broken, but you need to accept that broken plate. If you want to, you can kind of like, you know, fix it, you know, by nurturing that mindset and being supportive when they're going through something, you know, and when you feel and you notice that they're feeling depressed, be that uplifting voice of encouragement, because you can't fix nobody. The thing is, how they are is how they're going to be, and if you're not willing to accept that, then you need to keep it moving.
Well, mm-hmm. I think, and let me say this. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but everything that's been created has a purpose.
Exactly.
Everything has a purpose in life, and that's a God-given purpose.
Right,
so
I agree.
If I'm a man and I've got my purpose, and my purpose is to empower the world. Okay, that's my purpose. That's my God-given purpose. My focus is on God, all right? So I meet you, and that's my purpose. And I'm moving toward that purpose. You've got a purpose. I'm going to say this in this part again. And so I look at you and say, okay, for me to fulfill my purpose, I see that you know, hey, you can fit in there. I like the way, like your personality, like who you are, your spirit, you know, what you're trying to do. That fits in perfectly with my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And now, hopefully, you got a purpose. See, this guy come along. Okay, I see his dream. I see his vision. I'm going to go along. You know, yeah, I can go with him, and I can fulfill my purpose in life with this guy. Right? It's a bigger purpose than just me. I'm not the purpose. You are not my purpose in life. So what happens is when people get together, then they start turning on their purpose becomes the other person. And they lose sight of their total purpose. So now it's
I could agree with is that sometimes when you're in a relationship, because of the love, you're willing to motivate that person to achieve their dream quicker because it might be more
mm-hmm.
close to reach. You know, it might be
absolutely
advantageous, you know, and then after that person get to that stair step they need to be at, then it's the opportunity of the other one help you get where you need to be. Sometimes just by prioritizing what are we able to do first, if it's going to be you or be me. And it's not about who deserves to go first, it's what is attainable first.
Mm-hmm.
About working through things. I don't agree.
And sometimes that relationship will make you stronger too. For those
that came
out of a relationship, that
when I think that me and you can fit is because, number one, I see that you might be driven. Number two, I see that you might be trustworthy. Number three, I might see that you're godly. Number four, I might see that you are clean. The basic things I see about you, I like. But because we're in a relationship does not mean that, you know, you have to go first or I have to go first and reach a goal and we have to alter our goals. No, it don't mean it. It just means whatever's feasible and what's more advantageous can occur first. The love will create that area of, well, okay, I believe you can make it first. I'm going to support you, okay, and then you support me. It's not about who goes first. It's not about my dream.
It's not about who goes first. But I'm saying if your focus is to fix me, you're working
no,
on...
No. See, when a person in a relationship...
What was mentioned when we were talking about, you know, certain people have certain issues when they come to the table. That's what we were talking about.
Okay, well, you know, and that's true. But that's the bottom line is when people come to the table with issues of how to fix that woman or how to fix that man, they first got an issue right there. Maybe they need some medication or some counseling because as an adult, you ain't got to fix me. I'm grown, okay, because
mm-hmm.
we're talking about adults and relationships, so you're grown.
Exactly.
You already
exactly.
built a certain way about who mm-hmm. you are and the fiber of your life dictates if you have integrity or not. So if a person comes to the plate with that intention, they got some issues to start with, and you need to run in other directions.
Let's talk about one of those issues. One of the issues right now that we're having in our community, and it's a big issue, is that this because and the issues you mentioned it earlier, you talked about the media. And this whole thing about scandal and being Mary Jane and just being a powerful black woman, and she's an example of black women today. There's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of that concept going around. Now, I know men have a perspective on that. How are the women, how do you see that, Rhea and other ladies on the line? How do you see that whole scenario playing out?
Said those movies like Mary Jane's and The Have and The Have Nots and the women that portray themselves as strong and whatever. I just see that these particular women are opinionated, and they have a certain way they choose to live their life. Okay, if you find something in your life where you're not being aggressive enough to take what you need to get your next level, then yes, you're going to idolize these women. Okay, but the thing is, that's what they are. Those are some women that have gotten to that point because of the way they was raised, by the way that the environment they grew up in, it cultivated that mindset. So I'm not saying that that's right or that's wrong, but me personally as a woman, I'm a driven woman. I believe that I'm not going to have to kiss nobody behind to survive. So with that being said, and because I was raised in a go-get-it environment, a baby boomer, where, you know, blacks had to work harder to make anything happen, you know, so my mindset, because culturally, that's what we had to do. We had to get our education, work a little bit harder. We had to do it. So in me, it was put there, education first, driven. Black people, you know, stand up, black power. That's my way I was raised. So that would make me those kind of women that you talk about, the Mary Janes and the on the have and the have nots. But you know something? If I can empower another young sister behind me to have those same values and goals, I'm going to do that, because I'm sick and tired of young girls got to sit there and wait for a guy to issue her some money so she can go to the grocery store. I'm sick and tired of these young women who think they got to open their legs and give up their body so that they can get something. I'm sick and tired of these young girls not seeing education first or open up all the doors you need to open. So, you know, if you want to say Mary Jensen and the other women that have and have not, how they're affecting the way people see things, to me it's positive, because it lets people know I'm not standing for that.
But isn't that it, the things that you just said you don't have to do, isn't that what Scandal is doing? Isn't that what Mary Jane is doing? Isn't that what the have and have nots are doing? Isn't that what those black women are doing on those shows?
What I'm saying is, like, on the have and have nots, because I haven't seen too much of the Mary Jane, what this woman has done, yes, she has used her body to get over it, and she's cheated, but her mindset was strong enough to know that she had a way to make it. Now, I'm not saying the way they choose to make it. The way I choose to make it is get an education, not laying on your back. But you got to have the mindset to want to make it, because there's too many people out here that, you know, they are adults, and they're just muddling through life, going by in the motion, going on a job, having somebody tell them what to do. They feel afraid to believe in their own abilities, so they accept anything and everything. You know, and so I don't need a man to make me feel like, you know, hey, I'm complete. I would like to have a good man, but I want somebody the same kind of mindset I got. But until that man come along, there's toys out there, okay?
So if the man didn't make as much money as you made,
money doesn't mean nothing to me. You know why? Because money doesn't mean that much to me, because the thing is, if I find a guy compatible with me, who loved me, and he got my back, whatever his little pennies may be, and my little pennies together, we can make it work. It's not about the financial, because even if I didn't have any money and he didn't have none, the love is more important than the finances, because with love, you can make anything happen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to be clear on it, because one of the things that we hear often, I mean, when I'm as a black man, when I see BET, when I see NAACP give an image award to Kerry Washington, who was a side piece, sleeping with a couple of guys on the show, yes, he had a job, yes, he had education, but I'm more concerned with the character.
I agree from that point of view.
And who she is than I am about what kind of job she has. And when I see those kind of awards being given to our black women and in those situations, and women are saying, This is the model for us as black women. I'm so glad to see this image on television. And so these are, and I think it's mimicking a lot of the things that we're hearing as black men out here in the public from our community.
Sir, you know, and when you talk about these women getting awards, NAACP, and this is an Image Awards, okay, first of all, I see the fact that they are actresses.
Yes.
Okay, I see the fact they are being awarded for the image they play. The play does not mean
that.
Wow.
What?
I mean, I think that's going, wow. Keep going, sister.
Okay.
I was like, wait a second.
No, but you know,
Miss Terry, your point is really valuable, and it's valid. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, everybody's going to have an opinion, but you know, a wise person will be having the insight to sit there and decipher what makes sense, what's acceptable, and what's appropriate, because it's about being moralistic, you know. But we're in a shameless society that, you know, make that seem like that's the norm. But, you know, baby, that's they acting. You know, if that's the kind of sister you with, you know, you're going to have some problems. But what I'm motivated about is the fact that that sister had the mindset to be and do something else to get what she want. I'm not saying what she chose to do as, you know, in the role that she was playing was the right way to get it. But I'm so for all young women having an insight and a smart. They have the ability and the zest to want to get it. They want to get it instead of waiting on somebody to give it to them. I want, go ahead and get it, but you ain't got to.
Yeah, I see. Go get it, right. Even if you disrespect yourself, go get it. It's about the money.
You know?
It's about the money. As long as I get paid, it don't matter. It don't matter what I do. But that's a step and fetch it type of my mentality. And as a man, I'm just saying. And see, some of the things, some of the issues that we're having in our community, I think, this is my opinion, is that, you know, as men, when we don't want our women in those positions, and it is money, but sometimes you got to sacrifice the money for the
character.
Exactly.
All money ain't good money.
And what you stand for. Right. And
because all money ain't good money. But on the real, I don't care what I watch on TV for entertainment, but what I want in a man that I want to be with, like I said, somebody who seeks God's face, somebody who is compatible with me, you know, I accept my flaws like I accept him, and somebody, you know, who's willing to pool our money together. You know, you ain't got to make a whole bunch of nickels, and I ain't got to make a whole bunch of nickels, but if what we make together can pay the bills and put food in the refrigerator, I'm good with that.
So when a man stands up and says, you know, I'm not with that image, and when men say that, you know, it's like, hey, we're independent women, we're making our money, we can do what we want to do. And so how does that bring positivity to a relationship? And the big issue that we have is that our men and our women are not on the same page. I'm asking.
A lot of people have misconceptions about the word independent woman, because I see a lot of people use that. But there's two ways people are meaning that. You know, it's a dual meaning. Sometimes when women say they are independent, that means that they are financially secure to take care of themselves without the need of a man or anyone else. Other women think, when they say independent, it's a mindset, meaning that, you know, I'm not one of those little women that are going to be so frilly, like, oh, I can't do anything. And when I get a flat tie, oh, I can't change my tie. My little chunky little ass will get up there and change that tire, you know. So I'm independent in my mindset that, you know, I have enough, you know, self-esteem about myself that anything that might happen, because life is up and down, I can embrace it, I can deal with it, and keep moving without saying, oh, woe is me. That's my independence. But then,
I just want to say this real quick to what he was saying. There are a lot of times where there are women who don't play their role. Some people do not play their role, where they don't let the man be the man of the household. I don't know if that's your question, but that is a problem a lot of times with us as women, because we've been independent and now we're in a relationship and we are so independent from before
we don't allow him to take on his role as the man of the house.
But you know, some darling problem is going to be around for the end of days, because if everybody was perfect, if everybody focused and did what was right, you know, we'd be like clones. We'd be like robots. So even though some things
are right, no, we can't.
Okay.
No, we can't. I can't let that go. You know, it's not about being clones. It's not about being a clone.
Right.
We all did the same things.
We all had the same mindset. So what would be the difference?
The difference would be that we wouldn't have the issues that we have now. The difference would be we wouldn't be talking about who are our leaders. We wouldn't have our children running around here acting like they're independent and they do what they want to do. We wouldn't have the issues with our people getting locked up if we had a mindset like we used to have. We're one people. We're together. We're a team. We're a unity. Our families are a team. You're not independent.
No,
we had a value together.
Like it takes a village to raise a child. Back in the day, we had more values that we embraced, and we was able to use
as
that
a
value
community
system on people out in the community. But, you know, baby, what I'm just saying to you is that, you know, this world we live in is dysfunctional. People in it are dysfunctional. People have went through some things, and because of the things they went through, and some didn't get no help, and some didn't get the kind of help that they needed, they have a certain mindset, you know. So we just got to try to find somebody that's compatible with us, because you ain't going to never find nobody, male and female alike, that's going to be all one. That's over. When Adam and Eve screwed up, that's when everything went to screw.
I think, and if you ask everybody that's on the, you know, that's on the show, I think we have to see. You have to take care of you, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I have to take care of me, and we have to be responsible as individuals to the group.
I agree with
ourselves.
That. But the way you do it and the way I do it and the way someone else do it, we ain't gonna never be exactly right, but we might be striving towards the same thing. But, you know, just like you got a flip side to everything, just like you're going to have a bunch of people trying to do what's right, morally right, you know, and the norm, you're going to have some dysfunctional knuckleheads out there too. And you just got to be on guard. Don't get caught up.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so we're us, okay? We're talking about this in society and all that kind of stuff. We're the ones where we don't have, you know, we're doing bad, we're unemployed, we don't own property, our school systems are the worst school systems, we're losing our homes, our households are being led by females, our community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not affecting the Asians as much. This is not affecting the Italians. They're using their money to empower themselves. Why do we have these issues? Yes.
Jerome, I don't mean to cut you out, darling, but y'all not going to believe this. I was muted out. I kept saying hello, 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 and I just looked on a switchboard, and I had muted myself out. I don't know what was going on, but I wanted to answer the question, what did what we thought of Scandal and those different programs, what came on. Now, my take on it is that it's promoting fornication, infidelity, and all the other things that are distasteful and stuff like that. But I take it solely as for entertainment, because there's no way that I would practice the things that they're doing on that show, you know, because – and then a person who – because, on Facebook, everybody's all into Scandal. Everybody's into this. Everybody's into that, which I don't have a problem. I'm not telling nobody what to do, because I do watch The Haves and the Have-Nots, The Housewives of Atlanta, but I never watched Scandal because I couldn't get into it. And, you know, they're saying that Shonda Rhimes, she's an excellent writer, this and that. Well, what she's putting out there for these women, there are women who are emulating what that girl Olivia is doing, but they're not doing it with the president. You see what I'm saying? So, therefore, those programs like that, if a person takes those things in and work with them on the same level as how it's coming out, then that's a bad thing. Just like people who sit around and watch the soaps all day, you know, because those things can be impressionable on people. Because I had a girlfriend, every time I would talk to her, all she was talking about the soap. Did you see this? And that girl, she did that girl. I'm so mad at her. Why are you mad at somebody that you never met, never will meet, don't know nothing about this person, but you have been drugged in, pulled in so deeply by watching this garbage until that's how you take it? But I watch those things, and it's solely entertainment to me.
Exactly.
That's how I look at it, you know. But
well,
like, that's promoting fornication, infidelity, and all the other things that are distasteful as far as, like, a married man or a married woman or a person who's in a relationship, that's not supposed to be like that. So people, you know, they figure, well, I can do that, you know. So
you know, you got to take care of your household, like he was saying. I don't approve of that, but I see this entertainment. But I approve of the fact that a person is driven to get it. But, you know, it's my responsibility as an adult and to my grandkids to show them the appropriate way to get what you need for shelter and to survive and to be able to see when it's television, but you're strong enough to know this is not the way you got to get it.
Right,
that's not,
right. You don't have to sleep around to get things that you want. You don't have to be with somebody else's husband to get things that you want and different things like that. So I'm just like we started off in the beginning of the conversation, how the media and you know, these social networks and different things like that have a powerful influence on people, as well as not only as themselves, but when they be in relationships or things that they do on a daily basis in their lives, they're being influenced by these different things that they see in the media. You know, being influenced by it, you know, so you have to be very careful in how you choose the different things, especially our younger children that are come up that watching television. You have to be very careful what you let them watch on television, what you let them listen to on the radio, all this music that got all these nasty lyrics in them and programs.
Right,
but I'm just saying, your children are the most impressionable ones. They are the ones that have to be controlled.
As people, it doesn't matter if they're young. We keep putting that off on the children. It's the parents, it's the adults. We talk about it being entertaining. Garbage in, garbage out. I don't care how old you are. We're watching more television than any other culture in this country. We are the brokest people than anybody else in the country. We spend more of our money on going outside of our community and spending it on the stuff that's on television. So we can talk to stuff about it. It's just entertainment. We are living this life that we see on television. We are emulating it. That's why we're in the position that we are. We are spending more of our money there. We're not buying real estate. We aren't doing that. We are building businesses. We don't create anything here in this country. We as a people. We can talk to stuff about it. It's just entertainment, but it's not. What we see and what we spend our time on is infiltrating our mind. We're out here, we should be learning about the things that are affecting our lives versus worrying about who's sleeping with who and what she's wearing and who her designer is and who's invited. We're watching other people's lives, and they're living their lives. We're spending our time. We can tell you everything they're doing, who they're sleeping with, how long they've been married, where they moved, and all that stuff.
Hey, Jerome, you know what's so funny?
And
it's so funny you say that, Jerome. It's so funny that you say that. My tax man, Mr. Goldstein, me and his son went to school together. And Mr. Goldstein, he's a Jewish guy. And he said to me last year, he said that our people will never make it until we give up our nigger loyalties. And I said, he said, when you understand what I'm talking about, then you'll know how to play the game. He said, our nigger loyalties. It's going to keep us down as a people.
Those loyalties are, you know, we go out and buy other people's food. We go out and buy other people's hair. We watch them on TV and watch us. We're sluts. We're hoes. Our guys when their parents are not around and we need. We're talking about we get our best partners in.
You're breaking up,
Jerome. He's breaking up.
Where our men are and acting like men. This is what's happening. I'm not making this stuff up. And we all know this. And we run to this stuff every day. We spend our money on this stuff. And we think it's not affecting us. It's just entertainment. We are out of our minds. We don't own property. We don't create anything. So you want to talk about being real? Until we do that as a family, as people coming together, and we're investing our money in our families, every time our children come out of school, we're hoping and praying they get a scholarship for playing ball. You listen to what we're talking about. Well, yeah, my son can play ball. Well, why don't we talk about, my child is in the science. Why don't we put our children into those things? Why don't we know? I used to teach in the school system. We don't even know, most of us don't know two, if they're in middle school or high school, we don't know two of our teachers' names, our children's teachers' names. So, but we pretend like we're so involved in the things that's going on. And then we spend our money, and we go to these big churches, these huge churches with fountains and stuff outside, but yet we can't put any money into It's the education. Not their education, our own education. Like the Jews have their own schools and they run into stuff. So we can make it sounds nice to say that this is all entertainment. That's a new catchphrase. It sounds nice to say we're independent. We aren't independent. We depend on them to give us jobs. So we ain't independent. Our women aren't independent. Our men aren't independent. Until we bring our money together and our families together and we teach our children about money and stop blaming it on the schools, then nothing's going to happen. And that's what my whole, I'm an advocate for us taking responsibility.
That's far-fetched because it hasn't happened in all these years, and I don't think it's going to ever happen because, number one, it's just how it's been embedded in us. We've been so worried about not helping each other out until it will never happen.
I can't let you say that because we just had on this phone call on this show right now. We were talking about our educated women. Now I'm not saying men too. That's men too. We keep talking about how educated we are. Now we telling so we're educated. So you're saying we aren't going to change our own situation, but we're talking about we got more educated. And I'm picking on women. I'm not picking on women. But that's the battle cry now. We women, we're educated, and we're so how do we affect change then? If we got educated people and we can't affect change, there's no hope for us, then why are we getting educated? What's the purpose of it?
Well, there's still a division because you have
a group of people. Everybody, you're going to have some people that's going to change, and you're going to have that big group that's going to change, and that other side that's not. That's just the way life is.
Education
is
change.
We can sit here and talk about change all day long, which is a different topic in another show, but we have to face reality that there are just some people that don't want to change, no matter how much you talk and
No. It's not about, that's our problem. It's not that big a thing. It's really not. All we have to do is, Rhea, you change. Jay, I don't know your full name. You change. I change. I don't have to change the world.
Oh, yes. I agree with
I've
you.
I've got to change.
But
here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. When we talk about change, just like now we're on this phone. We're on this phone call.
Got it.
We should be saying we can change.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be saying it ain't going to happen. We should be changing. We change.
Right.
I'm changing.
Well,
Right.
We can change, but there's going to be some out there that are not going to change.
We're not worried
about
them.
Don't worry about them. Okay, so when we talk about communication, that's how you should have put it when you said that. Instead of saying, I can't let you say that, because the fact remains, that's what it is. But I get what you're saying. Yes, we can change. I can say that I'm going to change, and I will. Mm-hmm. I'll do everything I can to be better. Just like
right.
you're saying, you do everything you can to be better.
See, but here's what I'm saying. See, we talk about education. We talk about education. When you get new information, that's how you change. And that's what education is. Education is new information. So if we're getting education and we're not changing, then we're doing something wrong. So we need to look at that instead of standing on the fact that I'm educated. See, and that's what we do. We've got this piece of paper, and that's enough. I'm educated, so here, hold me up. But what kind of growth are we doing with it? See, and that's I'm trying to get the focus on action, on change, on doing things with relationships, with people, how we interact with one another. We can sit here and talk about who's not going to change and who's not going to change. That doesn't matter. The whole world. I'm not going to get everybody to change, so ain't no need in us thinking about it.
No, you're not.
Change starts one person at a time, and it starts with leaders.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Leaders. And a leader you don't lead because somebody's going to follow you. You lead because you see the way, and you go, and then other people will see where you're going, and they will follow you. Some will, some won't. All leaders, 30% of the people are going to love you, 30% of the people are going to hate you, 30% of the people don't care. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it all falls out. That's the reality of it. So you lead anyway on what you see. And that's where men in our society are standing to do that. But we're fighting. We got to fight within our own families in order to do that. And then when a man doesn't come over and you're not listening and you're male chauvinist, but that's what we were created to do. We can talk about roles all we want. Women are maternal. We're I won't say animalistic. We're hunters. We're gatherers. We go out there to force stuff. That's what we do. As a team, we got everything covered. but we don't come together as a team, so we don't have everything covered. So women are out there by themselves, men are out there by themselves, and our women and our children are being picked off. That's a fact. You're being picked off because you aren't under the cover of a man. Because a man is, I'm just saying, and Bill, we've heard all this stuff before. Men are like, hey, man, I want to deal with my children, but I'm not dealing with that woman. I'm not going through all of that to see my child.
Right.
And it's a fight just to see your child. I've been in that situation. Paid child support and couldn't see my child. And had to fight the court system to see it. So until we understand what's important, that other stuff, Mary Jane, that don't mean jack to us. That ain't helping my child. That's not helping our community. It ain't helping us. So we can justify.
Well, you know, Jerome, when you say what you were just saying, they put them shows on because they know most black people, we don't have no business in our lives other than
they
that.
They put on as a distraction.
To entertain ourselves. I mean,
they're basically for
if you look at the big picture,
overhaul, bigger picture than what's going on besides Mary Jane, the have-nots. There are other things that are going on, but those type of shows they put on for a distraction, you know. So that's the way
distracted.
I look at it.
Yeah, no, that's the problem.
Our daughters are making twerk videos. Our sons are getting gunned down by white men in cold blood. And
I worked in television for 20 years, so I understand the whole purpose and concept behind television. I saw in newsrooms where certain shows and certain stories came up that are positive about us and our community. They aren't going to put it on air.
Right.
It doesn't benefit them to do that. They understand what they're doing. Everything on television is the same thing. Everything is produced. Everything is edited. There are things you're only going to see what they want you to see. That's all.
Right.
They control
it. That is true.
Okay.
Why is it that all of our shows, that all the ones that get the awards, are women are hoes, or they're sleeping around, or men are dirty police officers, they're crooks. Those are the ones that win the awards. But when Denzel Washington plays in Glory, and he does a heck of a job as a strong black man being whipped and he's standing up for his rights and everything, he doesn't get an award.
And Malcolm X as well.
He doesn't get an award. Martin Luther King, he don't get an award. Why is it that? And we look at it and we say, oh, it's just entertainment.
Gave award for Training Day.
right. But they keep showing us in the same images, and we keep running there and saying, oh, it's just entertainment. They got us hooked.
You know, it's so funny when you say that. You look at Kerry Washington and her work. And all her roles, she's been banged by a white man. Who was her agent?
Halle Berry. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's not just entertainment. It's purposely. When was the last time you seen a Jewish woman being screwed by a man on TV? When was the last time? When have you ever heard of anything negative? Arsenio Hall had the number one show on television. Late night show. Number one. Late night show. Number one show. He brought Farrakhan on in. When he told them he was going to bring him on, they said, don't bring him on in. The Jews told him, don't bring him on your show. He brought him on anyway. 2 weeks later, he's off the air, and he just come back 25 years later. See, so we got to wake up to all of this BS, all of these things that they put in front of us to make us feel good, and we can go out here and talk all this stuff, and we got to understand what the real game is. And in the meantime, our children are suffering. Our children have no respect for us. They have no respect for anything. We're afraid of our children. We don't even go into schools because we're afraid of them. But we want to be their friend. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just glad to say that my kids came up in the era that they came up in, because I'm going to tell you something. If I even thought that I was disciplining my child and I thought they was going to call the police on me, when the police got there, they would have taken me out of there for murder, because you're not going to be disrespectful to me and then call the police on me. That doesn't work. And I know the difference between disciplining and abusing my child as well. Now, there are some parents who actually abuse their children, but I knew how to discipline my children. But when it comes down to the point now, you got these kids, they get mad because they can't go out, they're grounded, so they call the police.
Mm-hmm.
The police come, lock the parents up, and all this okay stuff. If I tell you grounded, you grounded.
Well, but
you call the police up in here, huh?
Here's the thing, Delicious. See, what happens is these people, they don't discipline their children when they're 2 years old, 3 years old.
Right.
When that child
gets
up at 8, 9, 10 years old, and they get on public,
you train
and they're embarrassed. Right, they embarrass
right.
the parents. So now they got to whip them. They got to go to the extreme in order to get them under control. And that's the problem. That's the problem. So we got to start early. But we want to be their friends. We don't want them not to like us. I don't care if you like
me. No, me neither.
I want you to love me. I want you to love me later on.
Because they don't, the villages, all the villages are gone. They've been replaced by the prisons, and all our young black men are being killed off, you know, by the policemen and, you know, different diseases and all these types of things. So, therefore, there are no more villages to help raise these children like it was when I was coming up. So, you know, and then, like you said, these kids, their parents are scared of their children. I wish I would have been scared of my child.
And, Delicious, this is what I want to say. I appreciate you, you know, letting me come on the show and talk about this.
Oh, I appreciate that, too.
We don't get men's voices aren't heard. There's always a battle between men and women, and men are willing to stand up and take our positions in the community, and the first thing we have to do is, and as leaders in our families, and we are, it's not one person go first, another person go first, it's a family, but the issues that we're having in our communities right now. And I respect black women who are in those situations where they're trying to raise their family. A woman cannot raise a boy to be a man. They cannot do it. They're trying to handle all this responsibility, and it's heavy. It's heavy, and you guys aren't created for that. You aren't made to shoulder that. So
and sometimes you don't have no choice. So what do you do? Just lay down and let it succumb?
No, what you do is what we need to do. First of all, the men need to be there. The man's not there. That woman has to find a man, brother, uncle, cousin, coach, teacher, someone to bring into that boy's life so he has a male model to be around. You have to do that.
I can understand that. I do believe all children need both of their parents.
It's important. That man, and they're still going to feel the effects of it. A good friend of ours, Jenks Morton, he just came out with another film called Spit in Anger. He has another one called What Black Men Think. He has a book out called Black People Don't Read, and it demystifies all of the myths about black men. And it talks about and how it affects men.
You're breaking up.
You know, it's so funny you say that, right? You know, I'm still in the school system, and I watch how our kids, you know, for once, you know, as of now, they can't be suspended for cursing or disrespect. I watch how.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Tell them.
They can't
what you
be suspended
said.
No more for cursing or disrespect.
You said they can't.
No, they can't. They can't be suspended. That was on the news. About 8 months ago, they can't be suspended
so
no more.
So they can just be in school being disrespectful and acting a fool.
I'm gonna show you how
this mentality is now. A kid can have his everyday teacher in there, and they cursing the teacher out. He gets a substitute teacher, and they cursing him out. But as soon as that old white man comes to substitute that class, you don't hear a peep out them kids. Why is that?
How many of us knew, how many people out there with children knew that their children can't be suspended for cursing out an adult, staff member?
Most people no more.
Didn't know that. I guarantee, I promise you, most people didn't know that. If you got children or grandchildren, you should know this. But we know what's going on Scandal. We know what's going on in Mary Jane.
It's one company that prints up all the textbooks. It prints up all the tests, SATs, HSAs. Yeah. It's one company that handles all that. And it's crazy because it's a cycle from third grade, fifth grade, and seventh grade. They take the test scores, and they use them to develop how many jails they need to build in the future.
Pookie, tell them what happened to your school at the teacher that raised the test scores, the principal that raised
the test scores. Oh, they got rid of them. I mean, I'm going to break it down to you. Our last superintendent was a homosexual, and he didn't like strong men. They sent my principal home, who was a strong man, double-digit test score, zero parental place. They told him performance don't matter. They sent him home because he let somebody go home early.
Wow.
Whereas now we have all our principals now are homosexuals who hire more homosexuals, and they're breaking the cycle of our boys. I mean, I've never seen a group of defeated little boys in my life.
Mm.
This is what's going on in our schools, Prince George's County, the wealthiest African-American county in the country. This is what's going on in our communities. While we're watching Scandal, while we're advocating these kind of images for our children, while we're, you know, worried about the sports and what's going on, this is what's happening in the schools with our children. So, and we're one of the most highly educated. So what's wrong with this picture?
I got parents today won't go on school, man, to check your child's grades. But you go on Facebook, every time you wake up in the middle of the night, you see that light flash on your phone.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah,
Jerome, I do appreciate you coming on, honey. We're going to give you a great big round of applause for appearing here tonight.
Boy. That sounds like Yankee Stadium. Thank you,
Delicious.
Yeah,
you're more than welcome. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not against anybody. I'm just passionate for my people, and we can do better. We will do better, and we're a part of that. Pookie's one of my co-hosts on Third Eye Open. I work with Bill and Stacy with Adams House Program in Prince George's County, where weekly we have these workshops with men and family and women every Monday from 6 o'clock to 7:30. I've been doing it for 7 years. They've been doing it for about 20 years. And we deal with 80 men and women every Monday on these very topics that we're talking about.
And where is this held at?
This is at 501 Hampton Park Boulevard. So we're not just talking.
Okay, that's the atmosphere for me.
Yeah. We're in the trenches every Monday. Come next Monday, it's open to everyone. It's free. We provide these services for the county.
Okay. All right, let's get everybody to let them know where we're at. Let's start with Rhea. Let everybody know what you do in your spare time.
Well, in my spare time, I am a book reviewer. And I can be found on Facebook primarily. I'm on all the sites that deal with reading pretty much, though. And on Delicious Talk.
All right. Jade, my co-host, my beautiful co-host, let them know what you're doing. Jade?
Oh, we'll see.
Okay, well, let's go with Jadino. Jadino, you want to let everybody know what you do? You were so quiet tonight.
Yeah, I was cutting in, but, you know.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook. I'm an artist, art to the extreme. I'm doing filming right now. All types of graphics, shoes, women's shoes, designing clothes. But right now I'm getting ready to do this big party. In April, where I'm creating some 3D art. It's going to be mind-blowing. You can reach me on Facebook under J. Dino Blasco with no dash.
Say, Dino.
Hey.
My brother from another mother. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, whore?
Hey.
Yeah, man, we got to get up too, man. Yeah, you can reach me on, you can email me at jdinoblasco@gmail.com. That's jdinoblasco@gmail.com. And,
okay.
On Instagram, too. That's about
it. Jade, are you ready? She must have put her mute button on. But anyway, Bring the Sexy Back is for the mature listener audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listener audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or to either of my co-hosts. That's Rhea at riaalexis@yahoo.com. That's riaalexis@yahoo.com. Or to Jadino, he just gave you out his email address. And put in the subject line the topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And if the topic is juicy like it was tonight, we do the full 2 hours of adult conversations. And tune in every first Friday at 11 p.m. for open topic and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for my musical show where I play slow jams, or house music, happy hour from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you have got to stop by Gail's Blues Joint. That's at 7 p.m. right here. And join us for some blues and sassy music. Remember, bringing sexy back does not mean that you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Rhea, Jay, Jadino, Pookie, and special, my very special guest, Jerome. Thank you very much for coming on the show. And we might have to do a part two because we was on here for, longer than 2 hours, but, anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome, and I appreciate that.
It was delicious.
Well, all right. So you guys all have a beautiful night, and I love you guys. See you here next week, same place, same time. Don't forget to stop by Gail's Blues Joint, 7 p.m. Sunday, and I love you guys. Good night.
Thank you, Delicious. Good night. Thank you, Sage. Thank you, Rhea.
What are your soul? On the internet.
Good night.
Good night. That was great.